for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is the Sunday morning service of August the 31st, 1997, of the Labor Day Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. The Goldens will be the speakers for the morning.
Well, I had better sit down and let Brother James Golden stand up and fill this spot with the glory of the Lord as he comes to teach us this morning. Brother James. Oh, Irma says she wants him to pray in Spanish for us all here this morning. Okay. So when you pray in Spanish. Okay.
Well, howdy.
Howdy.
Ain't God wonderful?
Oh,
yeah. Yes, praise God. I tell you what, let's do. Let's bow in humility before the Lord. Let him clothe us with humility as we call upon him right now at this time. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the goodness we've received now, Lord. And oh, we feel like sometimes we want to stand up tall and shout, but we need to also bow down very low before your presence, Lord, and give you glory. Padre Celestial, te damos gracias a ti por tu bendición que ya hemos recibido. Y sentimos que nos gusta pararnos altos y gritar tus alabanzas. También, Señor, sentimos la necesidad de humillarnos muy bajo delante de tu presencia. Padre Celestial, en el dulce nombre del Señor Jesucristo, ayúdanos, Señor, a humillarnos, Señor, más que jamás antes, para reconocer nuestra necesidad de tu misericordia y de tu poder, Padre Celestial. No somos nada sin tu poder, sin tu unción, Padre Celestial. Quítanos todo orgullo, Señor, toda jactancia, toda altivez, todo que está en contra de ti, Señor. Y ayúdanos a estarnos vestidos de humildad delante de tu presencia. And Lord, help us to be clothed with humility before your presence. And we will thank you for it in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Oh, glory to God. ¿Cuántos entienden español? Uno, dos, tres, cuatro, cinco, seis, siete, ocho, nueve, diez. Hasta diez puedo contar. I asked them how many of you understand Spanish, and I counted ten of them. I can count to ten. Well, praise God. I'll tell you what, this camp meeting is the most refreshing I have ever been in. July the 8th, we flew into the States. Our first time to be inside, good old USA, since 1995. And we fought lots of battles. And then in lots of the battles that we fought, when we got to the end of our strength, we've turned them over to the Lord and watched the Lord fight the battle. It works both ways. I sort of felt like my physical strength was gone because I believe during the last 2 years has been, as far as you might say, real hard work, satisfying work, rewarding work, but it's been pretty hard. And I was feeling the effects of it. When you drive in to, I've driven into several campgrounds, camp meetings, during our, 35, 36 years in the ministry and missionary work. And, you drive into one, you just look it over and see everything so well kept, so neat, so nice, so decent, and so in order. And, just the natural surroundings of the people of God, people that really love God and serve God. And then, you know, whenever you see everything so much in order, you see the results of work. You see the results of men of God and women of God that are willing to put their shoulder to the wheel in these last days and work and labor in the vineyard of the Lord. You look around, see so much that needs to be done, and you think, Lord, who is going to do it? And I see so much that I want to see accomplished. And I have to cry out to God daily for strength to stand out and meet the challenge. But it gives me strength It gives me courage. Verbalized preaching and teaching gives me courage. But I tell you, when I see men of God like Glenn Miller and women of God like Sister Irma Miller and all these workers that work and labor here and have done it year after year after year without moaning, groaning, and complaining because they love the people of God and they love the work of the gospel, I see these musicians. And it took lots of work and dedication to get where they are, to be able to play under the anointing. How many have enjoyed these musicians? Give them a hand. Let's give them a hand. Since we've been here, I've seen cooks, and I haven't stood in the kitchen and just gazed at everything they've been doing, you know. But I have enjoyed the results of it. I go by there, and I see every one of them standing there ready to serve you with a smile on their face. So willingly. And just to sit down and the food itself, it's good. But I tell you, the love and the dedication of those that prepare the food and those that work together. How many of you have appreciated the good food and the good work all these cooks around here? Let's give them a big hand. How many appreciate the great anointing of the Lord that has been on this campground, that is still on this campground? Let's stand and give the Lord the biggest hand clap of all. Let's raise our hand. Let's give Him the glory. Yes, Lord. We love You, Lord. We praise You, Lord. Praise Him. Glory to God. Lift up your voice and praise the Lord. Glory to God. Yes, worship Him. Yes, praise God. Oh, yes, 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 yes. Yea, for the Lord saith unto His people, you have seen outpourings of My Spirit, and you have heard of those to come. But I tell you that the half has not ever been told yet, saith the Lord. For indeed you shall see greater outpourings than you have ever heard of before, saith the Lord. And indeed will I move to make the crooked places straight, and I will make the high places low, and I will gather out the stones. For yea, you see before you great obstacles, wondering how you shall pass through them. But yea, I send to thee, I'll break the gates of brass, and I will tear open the bars of steel, saith the Lord, and I will let My people go forward. And you shall see greater deliverances than you have ever seen before. For you have seen more people bound than you have ever seen before, saith the Lord. And I have said unto you that My sons and My daughters shall prophesy. And be encouraged, handmaidens of Man, saith the Lord. Yea, for I have raised you up in this hour, and I will cause you to be strong, handmaidens. For I have set upon the servants and handmaidens will I pour out of My Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. And yea, prepare your heart and be ready, saith the Lord. For yea, I have seen those that are reluctant and timid, but I will remove timidity from you, and I will remove reluctance from you. And I have seen you have thought in your mind, I am nobody, I cannot do this. But it is not you, it is the strength and the power of the Lord that will do it for you. And you shall stand, My handmaiden, and you shall speak My word, and you shall prophesy My word with the authority that I give unto you to do it, and you shall see My word prevails at the Lord. Yes. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, yes. Now, you may be seated, remain standing, or whatever. You're free in the Lord. You can, if holy laughter comes on you, you just laugh. Praise God. We want the Spirit of the Lord to have His right way. Well, in the book of Daniel, the Lord said concerning the last days, that they that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. I remember one time about 2 or 3 years ago, I saw a guy on television, and they said he was the strongest man in the world. Now, I don't know
how nice and sweet a character he might have had. But they said he was the strongest man in the world. It was amazing to see such a strong guy. I'm sure if that man were to come to Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, you'd consider it something special, wouldn't you? Now, I don't think he's going to be here. I'm not going to try to bring him here. So I don't want to encourage you. But I'll tell you who is here. It's not the strongest man in the world, but there's somebody here this morning, as far as I'm concerned, she's the sweetest woman in the world. And the Lord joined her to me and gave me that privilege. And as far as I'm concerned, I don't want to have any fist fights with any of you guys. If you feel like the one you got the sweetest woman in the world, I'll let you go on ahead and think that way. I'll even honor you for it. The strongest man in the world is not going to speak for you. Since I have been asked to speak and teach, I believe since we two are one, it's permissible for me to allow the sweetest woman in the world to come and speak. Sister Marlene, will you come? And I now present to you the sweetest woman in the world.
Isn't the Lord wonderful? Isn't it marvelous what He's doing? It's great to know Him. There was a scripture in Ecclesiastes this morning that I thought of. In the 8th chapter, where the word of a king is, there is power. And we begin to think of the kings and the rulers of the world. Their word is power. But we have a king that's greater than any of them. And his word is powerful. His word, if it's sent in the power of the Holy Spirit, it is marvelous. It can do great things for us. And we feel that word as we go up and down the road, as we travel. As we travel in Belize, we feel the Word of God with us. It's marvelous to see what God is doing. I was sitting back there thinking, about 3-4 months ago, Brother Golden and I stopped in Belize City to visit an Assembly of God pastor that we've known there for many years. And I ran in his house to leave a little offering for him. I got in there and his wife was sick. And so I went back out to get Brother Golden so that we could pray for her. And we came in the house. He locked the vehicle and we came in the house and we prayed. And there was an urgency on my part. We've got to get back to the vehicle. So we left the house and the pastor walked out with us. And as we turned the corner, I looked and I saw our van door open. And I thought, uh-oh, somebody's broken into our van. So as we start down the road toward the van, I saw this huge black guy jump out of our van. And something came over me, and I ran right up to him, right in his face. And I looked at him, and I said, "You broke into our van." And he threw up his hand and began to shake and move back. And he kept walking back. And he says, "I didn't get anything. I didn't get anything. I didn't get anything." And he jumped on his bicycle and took off. Well, after that happened, I thought that man could have had a gun or a knife or anything. And James said, "Only fools step in." So he called me a fool for running up there. But it wasn't me. I would never have done something like that. I'm so thankful that God's power is with us. When we need it, it's there. Our first trip into Cuba, we had a wonderful, wonderful time. Brother Golden began to talk about going into Cuba. And the first time I thought, no, I don't think I want to go. I don't know what it is over there. I don't know how the conditions are. I don't know where we'll be staying or what we'll be doing. But as the day drawed near, the Lord says, "You go." So we got up and got on the bus and rode in. No, a brother took us to the airport. We got on a small plane and flew to Cancun, Mexico, where we met two brothers from the United States, from Oklahoma, who were going to go over with us. We went to the airlines, got our ticket, and got on the plane at night and flew over to Havana. Well, they were real nice to us, the officials. They told us that we will not stamp your passport because you, as an American, is not allowed to come over here by the U.S. government. So they only stamped our visa, which we really appreciated. And then we went, and there were some brothers there to meet us. They took us to a little rooming house, which the Methodists had. And it was marvelous how God moved in Cuba. They began to have service in the Methodist church. And I began to listen. You know, that sounds like a Pentecostal church. That don't sound like a Methodist. With all of these young people jumping and dancing and speaking in tongues and moving in the Spirit. You know, for years, a young person was not allowed to go to church. It was against the law for a young person to go to church after communists took over. In 1986, the brethren said, we're going to pray that God will send a revival to Cuba. They had heard of a brother from Nicaragua who, everywhere he went, there was a great revival. So they wrote him and says, please come and hold us a revival. And he wrote back and says, no, God has not told me to come. So the brethren says, we're going to have a revival anyway. So they begin to fast and pray and meet in the church, the few that was in the churches. And all of the churches over Cuba begin this fasting and praying. And God began to move. Revival broke out. And do you know who the first ones that came to the churches were? Young people. And before, if they would have come to church, they would have been sent to a school to re-educate them. But there were so many that came into the churches, there was nothing the government could do. So Castro says, well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. He said, I'm going to give you more freedom. So he began to give them a little bit more freedom. And we stayed over there, I think, about 10 days and saw many places that revival was on. And it was great to see all of the young people. That really touched our heart, to see the young people come to the Lord. Really, little kids dancing and praising the Lord. There was one little girl especially that was real dear to my heart. She looked like a little angel standing there praising the Lord. And so we came back to Cancun, and we began to try to find the airlines that would take us back to Belize. And there was no airlines at all that went into Belize. So we began to wonder, Lord, how are we going to get back to Belize? So we found a hotel. They were looking through the telephone book, and the first number that they came to, they called, and we got reservations at the hotel and got a taxi to take us there. And as we got near to the hotel, the taxi driver said, right there's the bus station, said if you need to take a bus anywhere. Just around the corner from the hotel was this bus station that would take us back to the Belize border. And we were so thankful that God supplied for us, because we didn't know where we were or what we were going to do. But God supplied this huge, fancy bus, better than anything we've seen here in the United States, to take us back to the Belize border. We left at about 9 o'clock in the morning, got to Belize border, got on another bus, and went to Belize City, got off of that bus, and got on another bus, and went to our home. We got home about 11 o'clock that night. And we were so thankful that we didn't have to stay anywhere else except in our own bed. Our next trip to Cuba, we found out that people hardly had any soap. And it was very hard for them to get soap, so that our next trip, we loaded down the suitcases with soap. There was one huge suitcase that was full of soap, and you can guess who had to carry it. Because he was the biggest, he had to carry the heaviest load. And we got all of that into Cuba the second trip. But we found out that medicine was needed a lot more than soap. They said, we can do without soap, but we need medicine. They have very good doctors, but no medicine. So our third trip, there was a huge suitcase full of medicine that went with us that time. And we left Havana. We left Cancun at night and flew into Havana and got into the immigration office. And we got in one line, and Brother David and his wife got in another line. And they went up to the immigration officer, and they said, "Do you have reservations at a hotel?" And he said, "Well, somebody's made us reservations." And they said, "Unless you can show us reservations, you cannot go in." So he told them, said, "You go over there and stand." So Brother David come and called us out of the line, and we got out and went over and stood in the middle of the room and began to pray and said, "Lord, you know you sent us here for a purpose. You know they need this medicine. So work some way to get us in." And about the time we got through praying, there was an immigration officer walked out of his little booth and walked right in front of us, went over to the wall, turned around and come back and went into his booth. Well, we got in another line to go through another another officer, but he says, "Come over here." And we walked over to his office, and James told him, said, "We'd like to go into Cuba for a few days." And he said, "No problem." And he stamped our visa. And he said, "Well, this couple wants to go too." He said, "No problem." He stamped their visa, and we went rejoicing. But we got to where our luggage was and started through, and this huge suitcase was full of medicine. Well, they walked up, and they said, "That one. We want to see what's in there." So Brother David picked it up and took it over and put it on their little table. He unlocked it, unzipped it, and they begin to go through it. And she says, "That right there is what I want to see." And he had some Pepto-Bismol wrapped in some foam. And they couldn't see it through the x-ray, so they wanted to see what was in there. And she said, "Okay, go on." So they didn't even look at the rest of the stuff that we had brought in. And we went praising the Lord for victory that he had given us. The next morning, we got on a plane, flew to the eastern part of Cuba, and we were to land in the city of Hogan. And we got there. It was all clouded up, and the plane could not land. So they said, "Well, we're going to Santiago de Cuba." So they flew the plane on to Santiago de Cuba, and we got there and had to get off the plane and go in the office and sit for a while. And there was one woman, we were all over in the corner by ourselves, and she walked over and she said, "You're Christians, aren't you?" And we said, "Yes." She says, "I knew it," said, "my spirit bore witness with yours when I saw you." So she talked to us for a while, and then they announced that the plane was ready to leave. We got back on the plane and went to the little town of Hogan, where we were to stay. And we got off the plane and went in the little airport. And I looked out the window. And as I looked out the window, here come the fire truck right up to the plane that we had just got off of. And they began to squirt water on the tire. And I thought, "Uh-oh, don't let Joyce see this, Lord, or she might not get back on that plane to go home." But we were thankful that we had got off of that plane in time. And they put the fire out, and then we were safe. Well, we went out, and there were some brothers that had met us. And he had a 1945 panel wagon. Now, you don't find new cars over there. They're all in the 40s and 50s. A few new ones for taxes. But we got in this old panel wagon, and they were going to treat Sister Joyce and I real good and put us in the front seat. And the men had to get in the back. So we got in the seat and started down, and every bump that old car hit, there was springs in that seat, was poking through. So we have to move around and try not to get stuck by those springs. Well, we made it to our hotel, and we were to have service that night, and they said, "A taxi's going to come after you to bring you to service." So the taxi was a horse and buggy. So we got on the horse and buggy and went to service. And Brother Golden and I were in one horse and buggy. David and Joyce was in the other horse and buggy. And coming home from service, the horse and buggy that we got in, when Brother Golden got in, that horse, he didn't want to move. And he kind of went down and, you could hear him. And so the driver kept hitting him and beating him and trying to get him to go up a little hill, and he wasn't going to. He went backwards and he went sideways, and he went every way but where the driver wanted him to go. Well, at last, the driver got him up on the road, and when he got him up on the road, he decided, boy, this is better, and he took off. And Joyce and David's taxi was in front of us, and that horse run up and hit their horse and buggy. And we says, well, we've had a horse wreck. Have you ever been in a horse wreck? But nobody was hurt or nothing was injured. We got back to our hotel, and the next day we were going to go to a camp for a church service. And so here comes the little, we called it Old Smoky because it really used a lot of oil and it smoked. Well, they put David, Joyce and I in the front seat again. And going over those rough roads, that long way, we liked to not have made it. Well, we got to where you turn off and go kind of down a cattle trail, we called it, to get back to the church. Well, everybody else got out, but my door wouldn't open, so they wouldn't let us out. So I finally got somebody's attention and says, please let us out of here. So we got out, and we said, we want to walk. So we walked from there to the church, but coming back, they made us ride. Well, we finally got back to the hotel by moving around a lot to keep those springs from punching us. But God moved in a wonderful way. We had a lot of fun. You know, it's really a lot of fun serving the Lord. There's so much to do and such great things that are happening, not only in Cuba, but in Belize. God is doing wonderful things, and we praise Him for everything that He has done. Lord bless you.
Yes, thank you, Lord. Lord, we give you the glory. Praise your name. In the book of Acts, the 21st chapter, 18th and 19th verse, it says, and the day following, Paul went in with us unto James, and all the elders were present. And when he had saluted them, he declared particularly what things God had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry. And the verse 20, the first few words of it says, and when they heard it, they glorified the Lord. Amen. Our God is doing great things in these days, just like He promised that He would do. I want to announce to you that God is right on schedule concerning what He planned to do from before the foundations of the world. Amen. And I want to announce to you that He's not encountering any difficulty and that He will carry out exactly 100%. Not 99 or 99.5%, 100% of all He set out to do before He ever built this earth. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. He knows what He's doing in Belize. He knows what He's doing in Cuba. You know, for 36 years of holy matrimony, serving God together, seeking God for His anointing, the leading of His Spirit, God's done so many great and wonderful things, it's difficult to reduce it down into 20 minutes time. But oh, God's so great and wonderful. I remember not long after Merlene and I were married, we were in Chihuahua, Mexico. We were working some at an orphanage, a big building, a lot of orphan children. We had a kind of a back room, our room to ourselves. I heard a great commotion. This was our first experience with deliverance. I went outside, and a woman had come. They told me later some of the details, telling that she had demons. Demons appeared to her. Demons attacked her, and demons tormented her. But when we went out there, she was lying flat on her back, and those demons were screaming like they're known to do. It was a little scary, you know, at that particular time. Praise God that, you know, He removes all fear from demons. Not any of them. Takes away all that fear. But that time, we really had to trust the Lord in a special way. There were two Mexican young men kneeling down beside of her, had their mouths right to the woman's ear. And
They were screaming. I mean, they were screaming at those demons. The demons were screaming. They were screaming back at them. Well, they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. This was in about the month of March of 1961. Any of you been in deliverance since 1961 or since before then? Or I've met men of God and women of God, even way down on the mission field. They know what it's all about. Well, praise God, God moved. I felt led and moved to the Spirit of the Lord and had my wife to put her hand right here on the little lady. I put my hand on my wife's hand, and you know, I didn't have to scream at all. And I just said, "We rebuke you in the name of Jesus." The little lady got up relieved and said she felt something warm enter into her and went all through her body. Well, praise God, maybe it's not every day, but all during the time, God is moving by His Spirit and power to drive back the powers of darkness, to break the powers of witchcraft, and you know, all of the evil in the governments, evil in witchcraft, wickedness in high places, wickedness in dark places. Praise God that He's rescuing people from that darkness, showing Himself to be God. You know, as my wife was speaking, I kind of have to skip over some highlights. We met an older Cuban by the name of Fernando Sarracen, and he had been serving God since way before communism took over. And we heard him tell of some of the horrible persecution that they had to go through with, how that they were brought for questioning so many times because, and their houses were searched because we wanted to see if they had anything that linked them to any connection to outsiders, that they might have some connection with CIA. He was wondering if we were really sent of God or if we was really, following our own zeal. So he was praying, and he was saying, "Lord, if these people are really you, I want to help them, Lord. And I want you to help me and show me." Well, he had a bad tooth. It was hurting him very bad. And he was a pretty snaggletooth man. Not pretty, but snaggletooth. And so he said, "Lord, if I go to the dentist this morning, I won't be able to get on the plane and go with those brothers and take them around to those different places. And Lord, I don't know for sure how many places to take them to or give them a welcome or just what. Lord, I want you to show me." Well, when we were way up high in a 727 jet, about halfway, midways from one end of the 700-mile Long Island, from one end of it to the other, about halfway up there, the power and the anointing of the Lord came upon him, and he was anointed to sneeze. God anointed him to sneeze. And he said, and when he did, that tooth popped out right in his handkerchief. And he didn't even bleed. So anyhow, he says, "There's not any doubt any longer. I know you are men of God and you are women of God, because I was praying and asking God to undertake for me. And God has been my dentist right up here on this plane. And look," he said, "he marveled. Every time I've ever had a tooth before, it just bled something terrible. Look at that, it didn't even bleed at all. Isn't God wonderful?" Why don't you give God a big hand clap offering? Oh, praise God. Praise God. Yes, thank you, Lord. You know, we have worn out already three brand new vehicles on the mission field. Going over those terribly rough roads. The last one we had, some of you here saw it, and the Lord gave it to us in 86. That's, if my mathematics is not haywire, that's about 11 years ago. Every one we've had, when you you live in Belize, you take a new automobile from here to Belize, well, they confiscate it until the tax is paid. And sometimes I'm not able to pay it the first day or the first week, or they just keep it until... But our Heavenly Father has come along and helped us to, be able to take care of all that. And I know this rig that we've got now, the Lord has taken us this far, and He's going to take us all the rest of the way. I don't have any doubt. I don't know when they confiscate it, how long it will be there until we'll be able to take care of all of that. But praise God for making the way for us. And whenever we were out anointing that new Ford the Lord gave us, Brother Speed was... putting the anointing oil and praying. And I told him, "We're the ones that put some of that on us. Put some of that oil on us. We need the anointing." And since the Lord has given to us the the best rig we ever had for doing missionary work, the best quality of rig. I feel like it's about the top notch for what we need one for. Well, I'm trusting God, and I want you to trust God with us, that our anointing and our ministry will have that same high quality of reaching back into those very distant highways and hedges to bring souls into the Lord. I remember one time when we were ministering along some jungle trails in Guatemala, and the power of God was moving, and some of the Indian people came out from their villages way back off the main trails and began to hear the gospel, and one family got saved and accepted the Lord. And whenever they went back to their village, well, they weren't very well accepted. They were, you know, sort of persecuted and in danger. So the officials of that village told us, we went back to look over the village. They sent us word that you better not come back into this village anymore. We have our own religion, and we don't want anybody to come and trouble us. And we've killed people before that's come in and trouble us, and we guarantee if you come back again, you will not get out alive. They sent us those words. I've been back in some of those places. I watched a man and a woman burning a chicken, feathers, whole chicken, feathers and all. It was horrible. Standing before a stone image. And you know, the devil is a religious devil. And he appears to be great and mighty and holy. They were standing in front of that statue burning that chicken. And you know what they were saying? In the name of the Father and the Son.
And the Holy Spirit.
I believe in the Son. I believe in the Holy Ghost. He must have believed in idols and in images. And the devil believes and trembled. I was thinking, well, yeah, I believe in the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost too. But praise God, I believe unto salvation. But God knows how to deliver people from bondage. Certain brother and I went back into a cave and fasted and prayed and sought the Lord. And Brother Dan Baldwin, God was dealing with my heart for me to go back into that village where they guaranteed we wouldn't come out alive. And I didn't know how God was dealing with Brother Dan. Now, Dan had a wife and some children. I had a wife and some children. And I was ready, if it came down to that, be shot and killed for the gospel, I was ready and willing. If it come down to that, I had no fear of death. I felt the urgency to go and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, I didn't want Dan to feel obligated to go with me. I didn't want to twist his arm. So I was trying to figure out how to put it to Dan without him feeling obligated. Because I knew that if he went back in there, Brother Speed, and got shot and killed, and his wife became a widow and his children became orphans, he would regret that the rest of his life. You know that? Well, he's a wise man. He's got that much sense too. So I told Dan, I says, Dan, now you stay here with your family. I'm going by myself back in there and witness to those people, because I feel God giving me boldness and giving me the anointing. And he says, Brother Golden, I was just fixing to tell you the same thing. And I was wondering how to put it to you. Because you see, now listen to me, he knew that if he twisted my arm and got me to go back there, and I got shot and killed, and my wife became a widow, that I would regret that the rest of my life, you know. He knew all that. We got ready and we took off, had to have four-wheel drive rigged it back in there. There was such a remote area behind cliffs and rocks, and they were gates, kind of poles through some sticks that were sticking up there. Some Spanish people had cattle there, and they didn't want the cattle out. They had told us, the ones that threatened to kill us, they said, if you try to make it beyond this gate, we guarantee you, you won't go any further. We, Brother Dan was driving. We pulled up to the gate. Brother Dan didn't say, get out and open the gate. I knew what he was thinking. He was thinking that if he said, get out and go open the gate, and then I got shot and killed, he would sort of feel guilty of it. And he knew that if I got shot and Merlene became a widow, that I would regret that the rest of our lives. So instead of saying, get out and open the gate, he says, what are we going to do?
wise men. He had wisdom. Have it as a question. So I told him, I'll show you what we're going to do. I went and got a hold of the first pole and pulled it out, and the second pole. You know, I want to tell you something. I know you're wondering, and I don't want to leave you wondering. And what I want to tell you is this. They didn't kill us. You were worried, weren't you? You were worried, weren't you? In fact, they didn't fire a shot. Nobody fired a shot. We went right into that village and set up and began witnessing and talking about the things of the Lord. Went out in a public area and had a little old loudspeaker. And people, instead of us being scared of them, they acted like they were scared of us. Come running out and looking and listening. And the word of God went forth. We went back there a number of different times. A little stream ran through that village, and it had little pools. And I've been by some of those pools and seen both men and women without any clothes at all. They're, bathing. That's, normal for some of them. It's not shocking to us, to them, like it would be to some of us. But God loves every one of them. God wants to rescue them from demonic bondage and from idolatry. And I had the privilege of baptizing the first ones that accept the Lord out in one of those pools, right out in front of all of them, without fear of arrows going through us, without fear of bullets going through us. God raised up a church in that village. We didn't stay there a long time. God raised up others to see after the church. God sent us into a number of different villages way back in those jungle. And I feel like the fire is shut up in my bones, ready to go back again. Praise the Lord, ready to trust God to see Him break a lot more bondages. God is keeping us. God is keeping you. You know, I have a daughter that went astray, and I saw her a few days ago. She admits that she's still not where she should be with the Lord. She ran off with a guy. You know, that's very embarrassing to a missionary to see your child, 18-year-old daughter, go astray. And she had two children by this guy. And later on, he beat her so very unmercifully and threatened to kill her. And she left fleeing. She had to leave her two children. And since she was the one that left, the father had legal custody of them. Well, she was, you know, told that she was to never go back there and never to have anything to do with them again. So, anyhow, she went from one bondage to the other, but later she began really seeking the Lord and calling on the Lord, yearning to see her children. So, the father bitterly opposed the children, didn't want them to talk of their mother at all. But they'd come to us and want to know something about their mother, and we didn't feel like we should keep it secret, saw pictures of her mother. The older one, when he got to be about 15 years old, he had a great desire to see his mother, and he kept telling his dad, "Dad, I want to go see my mother." And at first he bitterly opposed it. Everybody around saw him bitterly opposing it and realized that it wasn't right. And he himself softened up. He says, "Okay, I'll see what I can do to help you go get to see your mother." So, you know, that was one great victory that was won. So they went to get a visa, to the American embassy to see if they could get a visa. Since he lives in Belize, born in Nicaragua to an American citizen, our daughter, American citizen, born in the United States, but the American embassy would not give him a visa to go to the United States. So I said, "You mean now, his mother's a United States citizen, born in the United States, and you're saying you cannot give him a visa to go to the United States?" And, of course, the lady said, "We are very busy, have such a busy work schedule, and we have to do what Congress tells us to do." Well, I made an appointment to talk to the United States ambassador and went right into his office. Got to witness to the old guy. And anyhow, he said practically the same thing, that since he has this visa, he said, "When you're once turned down and told that you can't be given a visa, it almost takes an act of Congress to be able to get your visa." Well, praise God, we've met lots of obstacles before, and I know God's going to work and see us through this obstacle. We've seen all kinds of obstacles in our missionary work. When we first went on the mission field, my wife and I didn't have a mission board behind us. We didn't have anybody promising us any salary. We had very little money. But I tell you what, I want to tell you this. I want to see if you believe what I'm going to tell you. And what I'm going to tell you is God has never let us starve to death. Now, do you believe that? Let me go a little further. God has never let us starve to death, not even once. Let me go a little further than that. I don't believe I am ever going to starve to death, not even once. And you know what? I've heard of lots of people in this day we're living in. Lots of people are starving to death. If it should come down to it, that I should starve to death, it'll just be once. You know that? And I tell you what, I'm planning on going home to be with the Lord once. Whether it's when he comes in the clouds to glorify his own or whether this old body gets put 6 feet under the ground doesn't make me any difference. Isn't it wonderful to have that blessed hope in the Lord? Praise God for what he's doing on the mission field, Cuba. We've got an invitation to come to India, way up in the mountains in northern India. Our sister mentioned in the way back in the colder part of southern Chile, which is untouched by the gospel, and most missionaries go to southern India. And one brother, he says, I know, God has showed me, you are going to come to India, and we need the preaching and the teaching of the word. So I don't know when it's going to be, but anyhow, God knows. And back up in those mountains, there's different tribes and different castes of people. That's up in the cold in the southern part of India. It's hot weather, but you get way up in those high mountains, and especially you're getting toward what we call fall in our winter. It gets very cold up there, but there's oodles and oodles of people. I praise God for Lake Hamilton Bible Camp and the way God is using Lake Hamilton Bible Camp as a springboard and as a place for people to go where they can get refreshed and get anointed and get renewed in the Lord. And I praise God for the finance that God uses through this place. Praise God for each and every one of you that are dedicated and willing to help and support the work of the gospel. We've had native people in several villages build their own little church. So many of them, they know which poles to cut out of the jungle that will last a long time so they won't rot in that tropical weather. But it's difficult for them to get tin for the roofs of their churches. And we've got roofs for several churches down through the years. I've taken several pictures of them till I've got tired of taking pictures of them and got so many pictures it's hard to manage them, hard to take care of them. And I've just sort of left them aside. That doesn't seem to concern us very much. But, you know, people here in the United States, you know, I tell people about how that we all during these 36 years in the ministry, nobody has ever promised us anything, any salary at all, no mission board at all. And some people ask me, do you draw a pension? And I tell them, no, I'm not even ever eligible to draw any Social Security. If I live to get 65, by the way, I like... If your mathematics is right, you wonder how old I am now? In 40 more years, I'll be 100. 40 more years, I'll be 100 years old. Well, anyhow, but you see, God has so wonderfully moved together in the body of Christ and given us such a place, anointing, a calling. And he let us know that he's chosen us and raised us up. If God says it, I just say, Lord, here am I. But all the plane fare to go to Cuba, what, 3 different times, and we're going back again in January, the Lord willing. And 3 new automobiles worn out on the mission field, and I got another, and I'm planning on wearing it out. I'm not planning to see how quick I can wear it out. I plan to take good care of it. And I'm planning on myself being worn out. And but, you know, I think of all the hard work of people that love God and work hard with their hands. All you see around here, buildings. All you see with your eyes. Somebody had to earn something. Somebody had to work. We preachers sometimes get put on the pedestal because of where we go and the way the Lord uses us. And if it wasn't for hard people who, through the sweat of their brow, are willing to give and help and work in the work of the Lord. If it wasn't for people like you that labor faithfully, well, you know, it wouldn't be, we couldn't make it like we do. But since God has got so many people, that although you might not go on the mission field personally, you might not go way back in a village and have your life threatened, and you might not go way back and fight swarms of mosquitoes where malaria is prevalent and watch many people dying from malaria or amoebic dysentery, or be around where guerrilla warfare is being conducted. You might not be able to go there, but praise God, God's going to give you the same reward. He that stayeth with the stuff shall have the same reward as him that goeth out to the battle. Isn't God wonderful? Well, praise God. God has done so many wonderful things. I wish I had several hours to tell you a lot of details. When Paul went, it spoke to the people, declared what God had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry. When they heard it, what did they do? They glorified the Lord. You have been sitting there looking so pretty and so at ease. Now, I don't want you to quit looking pretty, but I wonder if you couldn't stand just now and have just a little bit of change in the service and stretch like this. Won't you do that? Yeah. Yeah. Now that you've done that and got your hands up, tell the Lord what you think about it. Yeah, now let's just praise the Lord in the Spirit. Glory to God. Thank you, Father in heaven, for what you do, what you have been doing. We give you the glory due to your name. The work is yours, Lord, not ours. Now you may be seated while I turn the service back over to our master of ceremonies.
He was talking about running out of food and thought, you never heard about the rats feeding them. But the rats did feed them. One time a few years back, when they didn't have anything and didn't know where to go to get it, the rats brought in three $20 bills. Or they had all the rats, they were already there. And Sister Merlene found a rat nest in the cupboard, and she cleaned it out. There was a brand new $20 bill in it with not even a tooth mark. American money. In Belize. And pretty soon, she was cleaning house some more. She found another rat's nest. And it had another $20 American bill in it. With no teeth marks in it. And then she was cleaning some more. They'd been gone away, and when they come back, she was cleaning some more, and she found a third one. So the Lord sent the rats in to feed them when they needed it. So the Lord take care of us when we put our trust in him, even if the rats have to come and do it. That's wonderful. Amen. Amen. Sister Merlene does a much better job of telling about it than me. But anyway, the Lord blessed them, and he's taking care of them and watching over them. And we appreciate the privilege that he's given us to be part of the ministry of the Goldens. And it's not only us, it's all of you. All of you also that helped with the other van, helped with the offerings that come in that we send to them every month, and help with this van. You have a part in that ministry in Belize. And now in the last couple of years, over to Cuba. And the ministry to Cuba will increase. It will increase. It will be not every 6 months, but pretty soon it'll be every other month that they'll be going over there and bringing the blessing of the Lord and ministering the word of the Lord over there to the people in Cuba who are hungry for the word of the Lord. And they and the Spirit of the Lord is moving not only there, but across the nations of the earth. God is moving. And he's declaring that his son is king, and that all others may try to raise up, but they'll get nowhere because Jesus is Lord. Amen. Well, since he let you sit back down, I guess I'll tell you to stand up again. And we'll bless the food and then come back at 1:15 for men's meeting and the ladies' meeting upstairs. Men's here back at 3 o'clock for the afternoon teaching and deliverance. And Tommy Cook will be ministering tonight. And at 6 o'clock, we'll go down to the river bury the dead and raise up the living. Okay. Father, we thank you for the privilege that you give us to declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. For to him be glory and praise and dominion, both now and forevermore. Amen and amen. Father, that is a privilege that you've given unto your children. And help us, Father, to be thankful for it and to give you praise. We thank you for your protection, care over us. We thank you for raiment and clothing. We thank you for the food that Richard and Nicole and others have prepared for us in the kitchen. We bless them for their faithful labors. And we thank you for making it health to us and all of our flesh. Amen.
Let go and let God have His way. Let go and let God have His way. Your mouth is filled with thanks, your night's turned to day. Let go and let God have His way. 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 Let go and let God have possible. Got any mountain you cannot tunnel through. My God specializes in things called impossible. And he can do what no other power can do. Got any river you think of uncrossable? Got any mountain you cannot tunnel through? My God specializes in things called impossible, and he can do what no other power can do. Sing it. In your heart, in the night. shining bright. But you need a song, God can put a song. But you need a song, God can put a song in my heart. In the night. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Can you say amen?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Anybody can smile when the sun is shining bright. But there's coming a time in the midnight hour, that's tribulation, that you're going to need a song in your heart in the night. And only He can put it there, that you'll be able to stand all the wiles of the things that come around you. You have no circumstances this afternoon. They're all in God's hands. For He is the conqueror of all things. And He is the victory. Victory, victory, victory is mine. I feel it in my soul. Let Jesus make me whole. Victory, victory, victory is mine. Oh, victory, victory is mine.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.